Yesterday we started the discussion of the topic of Moshe's Goydidu, that Rish Lakish raised the issue of Rabbi Yochanan. That's about 13 lines from the bottom of Yud Gimel on the base. Amalei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, how could the Mishnah Megillah say that different communities read the Megillah different days? Isn't there a violation of Moshe's Goydidu? Just before we get to the answer, what is Taka the Din? That you read the Megillah on different days. All the communities read the Megillah Yud Dalet, and then the Shushan Purim. Then in Shushan, in Ayoras Hamakaf Eschaima, Moshe Shubinun, they read the Megillah on Tezvav. So those are 2 days. How do you get the other days? The Mishnah says sometimes you read the Megillah the 11th, 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. We are familiar with. What are the first 3 days? 11th, 12th, 13th. So the Mishnah explains there, the opening Mishnah in Megillah, there's a din of Yom HaKnisa, that if Purim falls out on any day of the week other than Monday and Thursday, then the Chacham made a takana that they allow the people who live in the Kvarim, there are Ayores, and there are Kerachim HaMakafim Chamos Yishuv Benun, and there are Kvarim. So what's the definition of a Kvar? What do you mean a village, a Kvar? So the Mishnah gives you the definition. You don't even have Asara Batlon. Okay. The Mishnah discusses what's called a Kvar. So they observe Purim on the 14th, and they have to have Shalach Manas on the 14th. They have to have Sudas Purim and Shalach Manas on the 14th. When do they lay in, and when do they say Al Anisim on the 14th? The Chachamim gave them a Kula that if they want to, if they can read the Megillah on the 14th, that's wonderful. Let them do so. But the Chacham gave them a call. If it's too difficult for them in the Kfarim to read the Megillah on the 14th, we are makel, they can read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday prior to the 14th. Whenever you read the Megillah, then the Gemara says, you give Matanis Lavyonim in connection with the Megillah. Just like you do the Suras Purim and the Shalach Manas on the 14th and Al Anisim on the 14th, you really should have done Matanis Lavyonim on the 14th also. So the Gemara explains now that since we're makel for them that they can read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday before, and Aneim Shel Aniyim is Nesuas Lamikra Megillah. The Aniyim know that they're entitled to get their Matanas Lavyonim when you read the Megillah. Okay. So it's a special kula regarding the Mikra Megillah, even though it's not Purim. Purim is really on Yud Dalet for them. And they say Al Anisim on Yud Dalet. And they really should read the Megillah on Yud Dalet. They gave them a kula that they allow them to be outside the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday before. That'll sometimes be 11, 12, or 13. And on the day on which they read the Megillah, that's the day on which they fulfill the Matanas Lavyonim. So the question is here, there's a famous dispute between Rashi and Tosis. Who reads the Megillah for them on the 14th? Why is it called the Yom HaKnisa, the day on which they gather together? Where are they gathering together? So Rashi, in the opening comment on Mishnayos Megillah, the first Mishnah Megillah, Rashi says, the people in the little villages are not so learned. They're farmers. They don't have people who know how to read Kriyas HaTorah. So they were gathered together in the big city. Monday and Thursday, they were Mesapkim, Mayim, Mazon, Lachem, Shebikrachim. The farmers used to supply food for the people in the bigger cities, either Ayoras, Hamukofim Choymo, or Ayoras, Enim Kofis Choymo. They never leaned on their own. They didn't learn Kriyas HaTorah on their own. They used to go into the big cities Monday and Thursday every week to supply food. So when they go, when they go in to hear Kriyas HaTorah, when they go in for the Yom HaKnisa into the big city, so let them, so they'll be out to Kriyas HaTorah there, and then they'll have somebody read the Megillah for them. One of the Bnei Ha'ir will read the Megillah for the Bnei HaKfar. That's what Rashi writes in his opening comment on Megillah. Tosis over here, Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, this is a famous Tosis. Tosis Yudala Menal, at the end of the Maschal Ki Amrinon, disagrees with Rashi. Tosis quotes a Yerushalmi, the Chay Nira. Tosis said, you can't say that they come into the city, one of the people from the city read for them. But the people in the city are not Yotze, the Megillah. If they'll read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday before Purim, they're not Yotze. It's only a special kula for the Bnei HaKfarim. So we have a rule, Mishenim B'chui B'dover, and Emotzi Asacher Medechai Vosem. That's a mission in the end of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah. If the best Baltekeya in the village is a woman or a non-Jew, so the Nochri or the Kotten before Bar Mitzvah, the Isha cannot blow Shofar to be Motzi all the people in the shul, because Mishenim B'chui B'dover, and Emotzi Asacher Medechai Vosem. So here Tosis quotes a Yerushalmi, that a Ben Ir, and Emotzi Ben it says in Tosis Ben Krach. So the Bach corrects it. That's not what Tosis is trying to bring out. It should read Ben Eiren Emotze Ben Kfar. The Kfarim have a kula they can lay in the beginning on the Thursday before Purim. So Ben Eir, if the Ben Eir is, if you're going to do what Rashi describes, one of the people who lives in the city, who's not Yotze today, he's going to read the Megillah for the Bnei HaKfar, so he's not Mechui B'dover, he can't be Motzi Achem Adechei Bosom. So this is, somehow Rashi was not aware of the Yerushalmi, or disagrees with the Yerushalmi, whatever. This is, seems to be a fundamental Machlokes, Rashi and Tosis. Rashi old Mechui B'dover is necessary, means you have to be in the Parsha. The people who live in the city, the people who live in the Krach and the Kfar and the Kfarim, they all have a Chiyuv Mikra Megillah. They all have all the mitzvahs. The only thing is, they have to fulfill the mitzvah on the 13th, they fulfill on the 14th, they fulfill on the 15th, but they all share in common the same Chiyuv Mikra Megillah. They're all Jewish, they all have a Chiyuv Mikra Megillah. So Rashi holds that's sufficient. That's called Mechuyiv B'davah. We're all Mechuyiv to hear the Megillah. Taisa says, that's not enough that you're Mechuyiv in the mitzvah Megillah, you share in the Chiyuv. How would it work, according to Rashi, how would that work, that one of the people in the city who is knowledgeable, the people from the village, the Bnei HaKfar are not so learned, so they don't know how to lay in the Megillah. They don't know the Trump, they don't know Ivra, they don't know how to read without dots, they don't know how to read from a cloth, whatever it is. So how does it work, Stam, that you have a Balkore and everybody's Yotze with the Mikra Megillah? Why don't we require every person should read the Megillah on his own? So the answer is that Shemei Koine. How does it work? One person says Kiddush, one person says Havdalah, and everybody's Yotze. That's the principle, Shemei Koine. Shemei Koine means, if I'm saying Kiddush, I'm being Yotze Kiddush, everybody else is Yotze along with me, that's Shemei Koine. How would it work over here? The Ben Ho'ir, according to the way Rashi imagines, the Ben Ho'ir is reading the Megillah on behalf of the Ben HaKfar 2 days, 3 days before Purim. So he's not Yotze for himself. He's only being Yotze the other one. So how does that work? There is no Shemei Koine. Shemei Koine means I'm reading the Megillah for myself and you're listening also, you're listening along. So Shemei Koine, you're also Yotze. But here, I'm not being Yotze in the Mikra Megillah at all. I'm only reading the Megillah for you. So the answer is that's also legitimate. That's called Yotze, Yotze. The Gemara says there at the end of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah, if the Baal Tekeh already was Yotze Tekeh Shofar and Shul, then he goes to the hospital, he goes to the old age home, and he blows Shofar a second time. So the people in the old age home are Yotze also. The Gemara says, why? But there is no Shemei Koine, he's not being Yotze now. He's only blowing Shofar for the other people. So the Gemara said, that's okay. And the Gemara said, that's called Yotze, Moitze. Even though I was Yotze already, I can blow Shofar to be Moitze the other. So the Rishonim say, is labdavki yotze moitzi. Let's say the Baal Tekeh wants to blow shofar in the hospital before he blows in shul. He wants to blow in the old age home before he blows in shul. So it's not yotze moitzi, not that he was yotze already and he can blow a second time to moitzi them. He wants to blow shofar now with the kavana not to be yotze. He doesn't want to be yotze. It's better to be yotze the tkiyas al seder abrochas. He wants to hit tkiyas where he's supposed to, not before chakras. He wants to. He's going to blow in the old age home, then he's going to go to shul and blow after maftir before musaf in the middle of musaf. He doesn't want to be yotze tkiyas shofar before davening shachris. So the Rishonim say that's the same thing. It doesn't make a difference whether he was already yotze, yotze moitze, or he blows shofar before he has in mind not to be yotze for himself. He only has in mind to be moitze the others. So that's where Rashi says that's legitimate. The Ben Ho'ir reads the Megillah for the Bnei HaKfarim. He has in mind, it doesn't matter what he has in mind. Even if he has in mind, he wants to be Yotze. He's just not Yotze. He can't be Yotze the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday before Purim. The kula was only made for the Bnei HaKfarim, who was supplying the food to the Bnei HaYoris. So it's the equivalent of blowing shofar in the morning in the old age home before you go to shul. That's also considered Yotze Moitze. So the question is, how does that work? How does Yotze Moitze work?
How can that be considered a mechuyav b'davar? Shouldn't that be more comparable to a katan, who we know he's going to be nichlal in the mitzvah in another 2 days when he becomes a gadol, but right now he's not. He's not called a mechuyav b'davar.
This any given person, if he would be a ben kfar, he would also, this would be this man. If I move, I now live in a city. If I would move to a kfar today, I would be called a ben akfar and I would have this kula. Just because I live in the city, I'm a ben krach, I'm a ben kfar, I'm a ben ir, Those are details as to when your mekayim the mitzvah. A katan is not a bar chayuva. Let's say the kid is going to become bar mitzvah on the 15th of Adar. So on the 13th, on the 14th of Adar, he's not a bar chayuva. Absolutely, there's no way in the world he can become a bar chayuva. He's a katan. So he's ain't a b'chayuva dover. He can't be mitzvah to the others. But over here, any person who already is past bar mitzvah is mechuyev now. On the Yom HaKnis, everybody's mechuyev. If you would be a ben kfar, you would be mechuyev.
Let's say the only person who knows how to lane in this community is a einan, and he's not allowed to do mitzvahs.
Yeah.
He's the only bal kri.
Yeah.
So circumstances have it that he's not allowed to do it for us. He's not a mechuyev bedaver. So can he do it? Because he's still considered a mechuyev bedaver, because had he not been an einan, he would have been mechuyev bedaver like everyone else.
He's not allowed to do it. You mean b'di'evet? What if he will do it? Or would we say he should read the Megillah?
Rashi's holding that the Yusayid is if it's just a circumstance that stops him from being a Mechuyi B'davar, that doesn't stop him from being called a Mechuyi B'davar.
That they're all considered Mechuyi B'davar.
Because had he lived over there, he would have been Mechuyi. So here also.
I think Tosis agrees with Rashi also that all three people, the B'nai HaKrachim, B'nai HaYoris, and B'nai HaKforim, they're all Mechuyi B'davar starting from the Monday or Thursday before. Everybody's called Mechuyi B'davar. The Tosis disagrees for different reasons. That's what I'm about to explain now. Tosis disagrees because they understand Yotza Moitzi differently from Rashi. Rashi understands, I'm blowing the shofar for you, and you're Yotza, and I'm not being Yotza. And Tosis understands that Yotza Moitzi means the following. Yotza Moitzi, Rashi and the Rishonim say, is based on Kol Yisrael Arev Mzeh Bzeh. How can I... The Gemara says, I already said Kiddush, and I'm ready in the middle of the meal. Then someone comes in the middle of the meal, he does know how to say Kiddush. The Gemara says, there, Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the third prayer, I can say Kiddush a second time on his behalf. Afal pisha yotza, moitzi, I'm still called Mechuyi B'davar. So how do you explain that then? So the Rishonim say, Kol Yisrael Arev Mzeh Bzeh, I'm still considered a Mechuyi B'davar. So Tosfos seems to understand that Kol Yisrael Arev Mzeh Bzeh means the following. How many times is one obligated to blow shofar? How many times is one obligated to say Kiddush? You say Kiddush once every Shabbos, you yotze Kiddush. You hear one set of Tkiyah Shofar, you yotze Tkiyah Shofar. So Tosfos understands, Kol Yisrael Arev Mzeh Bzeh, if there's still one Jew left in New Zealand who didn't hear Tkiyah Shofar yet, who didn't hear Kiddush yet, I'm still mechuyev to say Kiddush for myself in order that you can be yotze, in order that the other person can be yotze with Shemei Kaina. Tosfos holds a din, yotze moitze is not a separate din. Not that Shamea Kaina means I'm saying Kiddush, and whoever listens in is Yotze the Kiddush with me. Yotze Maitzi is also the same thing. I'm saying Kiddush to be Maitzi myself, and whoever listens in is Yotze alone. What do you mean I'm saying Kiddush to me? I already was Yotze Kiddush. The answer is no. If there's still one Jew left somewhere in the world who didn't hear Kiddush yet, I'm obligated to say Kiddush a second time if that'll help him. So I have to be Yotze Kiddush. Let me make it a little clearer. Avni Nezer has an explanation in his Sefer on the following topic. Let's say, when I blow shofar in shul, and I want to be yotze, and I want all the people in shul to be yotze, you have to make sure that you hear the tekiyas. Let's say when I go in the old age home, and I blow shofar for them, what if I'm going to put earplugs in my ear? I don't need the tekiyas shofar anymore. What if I'll put earplugs, and I won't hear it all, if it's possible, and I won't hear it all the tekiyas shofar? I don't need Tkiyah Shofar. I was ready Yotze. I'm only blowing only for them. So the Avnei Nezer proves from a Beferishi Gemara in Brachas that they won't be Yotze. Yotze Moitze is just another way of saying Shemei Kaina. On the normal circumstances, we say every Jew is Mechuyev to hear Kiddush once. Every Jew is Mechuyev to hear Tkiyah Shofar. One set of Tkiyah San Rosh Hashanah. I'm Mechuyev to blow Shofar all day long. But if by blowing shofar a second time it'll help someone else be yotze tkiyah shofar, then I'm mechuyev to hear shofar a second time, and I'm obligated to say kiddush for myself a second time so that the other person can be yotze along with me shemei kaina. But if I have the earplugs in and I don't hear the kiddush, then the kiddush yotze even if you don't hear. You don't have to be mashmei liozno. But let's say the tkiyah shofar, if you don't hear tkiyahs, you're not yotze. So even the tkiyahs that you blow for the other person, I already was yotze. I have to hear the second set of tekiyas also, because the idea behind Yotze Maitzi is I'm being Yotze for myself, I'm blowing shofar for myself, I'm saying Kiddush for myself, and then since I'm Yotze, with my kiddush, or you can be yotzei along with me. So Taisus says, but if I'm a ben Eir, and I'm reading the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, or the 13th, so I'm absolutely not yotzei at all. This kula that you can be yotzei mikra Megillah, and the mele fulfill matanus levyayin in connection with the mikra Megillah. The kula that you can do it on the Monday or Thursday before the Yom HaKnisa is only a kula for the Bnei HaKfarim, for the Bnei HaYir. They're not yotzei. So the Ben HaYir is only reading the Megillah only for the Bnei HaKfarim. He's not reading for himself. Absolutely not yotzei himself. He's not a Ben Kfar.
When he does the Kiddush, he was ready for yotzei Kiddush. So how is he being mighty him? Like,
how, I don't see the difference. He has to. He's mechuyif. I'm mechuyif. I'm the one who knows how to say Kiddush. And the guest comes in, he does not know how to say Kiddush. Yeah. So the halacha says, I'm obligated to hear Kiddush. I am obligated to hear Kiddush a second time. I have to say Kiddush a second time because that's going to help another Jew. And once I'm obligated to hear Kiddush again, then he'll hear Kiddush along with me. He'll be yotzei along. He'll be a nachshlep. He'll be yotzei with me. Not that the second Kiddush I say is only for him and not for me. I don't have to hear that Kiddush. Take, for example, the Mishnah in Brochus has a machlekes Reb Yosi and Reb Yudah. What's a din? A person says Kiddush, he says so softly he didn't hear it. He whispers the Kiddush. Oh, it's noisy. It's very noisy. Tumuldik in a hotel, whatever. A lot of people saying Kiddush, screaming at the same time. He says Kiddush on top of, as long as he doesn't hear his own Kiddush. So there's a machlekes Hatanim. Same thing by Kriyashma. Whenever there's a mitzvah of Amira, Kiddush, Abdullah, Birchus HaMozen, whenever there's a mitzvah of Amira, do you have to be Mashmir Liyoznov Liyikuvah? Or is it only Lechatchila to be Mashmir Liyoznov? So we paskin, there are paskins, there are brachas. Lechatchila should say it so loud that Yishma Mashmir Liyoznov, but he ever yoytze without it. So let's say, I'll say Kiddush a second time for someone else. I was ready yoytze Kiddush, and I heard the Kiddush. Now it's tumultic, it's so noisy, I'm hard of hearing. So the other fellow has a good, the other fellow's, I'm going to say Kiddush a second time with someone else. He's going to have his ear right next to my ear, next to my lips. He's going to hear every word. But it's so noisy, I don't hear anything. So if I would have said Kiddush like that when it's noisy, I would have been yotzei b'dieved. Let's say all the other people, when I say Kiddush at home, and all of my wife and my children are here, they're yotzei b'dieved or yotzei l'chatchila? It's not a din b'dieved. Shemer kain is perfect l'chatchila. There's no hidden mitzvah that each person should say on his own. So what about when I say Kiddush the second time to be motzi the other people? So, and I don't hear the Kiddush. It's very noisy in the room. I don't hear the Kiddush. But I don't need the Kiddush. I already said Kiddush the first time. I was yotzi Kiddush already. When I say the Kiddush a second time, and all the other, and whoever is listening hears. And I can't hear now because it's so noisy. So the Gemara says, they're only yotze b'dievet. Because I was not mashmir l'oznai. What is that? Why do I have to be mashmir l'oznai the second time? The first time I said it, I was yotze. The second time I say kid is only for them. They're hearing it. Shemek, so what's the problem? The answer is, that's a beferish Gemara. So the Avdei Nezer points it out. So he says, the answer is that the pshat and yotze maitze is, it's not a separate din from shemek kainah. It's identical with Shemei Kaina. The Halacha says, "Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh." If there's a Jew who didn't hear Kiddush yet, didn't hear Tkiyas yet, and if I'll say Kiddush a second time, I'll blow a second time, I'll help him. He'll be able to be Yotzei. So that makes me mechuyif to hear Kiddush a second time in order that he should be able to be the Nochshlep and be Yotzei along with me. But he can't be Yotzei in excess of what I'm being Yotzei. So if I'm not hearing it, if let's say I'm deaf, so when I say Kiddush, I'm only yotze b'dieved. So he got no choice. Let's say a person is deaf, so he can't be yotze. He can't listen to someone else say Kiddush. He can't hear the other guy. There's no shemei kain. He has to say Kiddush on his own. But the maximum he can be yotze Kiddush is only b'dieved. He's not going to be yotze l'chatchil. He has no choice. He's ain't a shomea. But not a smart thing to have the deaf grandfather. Let's say the grandfather's deaf, and we always like to be mechaber. The grandfather should say Kiddush. If the grandfather's going to say Kiddush and he's Eino Shameya, he's only Yotze B'dieved, B'leis B'reirah. He got no choice. That's the best he can do. But that's not smart. He shouldn't be saying Kiddush for everybody else because they'll only be Yotze B'dieved. They can't be Yotze in excess of what he's being Yotze. Shemeh kind of means they're Yotze along with him. So that's what the Gemara says. The second time I say Kiddush, to be Yotze everybody else, second time I blow Shofar, if I don't hear the Tkiyas, he hears the Tkiyas and I don't hear, let's say he's standing right next to the shofar, it's very noisy, whatever, I'm deaf, something like that, then they won't be yotzei, period. Because if you don't hear the tekiyas, you're not yotzei. So the second time I blow shofar, I'm not yotzei anything for myself unless I hear. So the listeners are not yotzei at all. So that's what Tosfos seems to hold here. Tosfos is probably maskim with Rashi. This is called mechuyah bedover. Maskim, it's called mechuyah bedover. Whoever is in this parsha, you don't have to be mechuyah right now, this minute. It's called mechuyah bedover. Let's say there is a famous machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam. What's the nature of birchas harison? So the Rambam's opinion is birchas harison is a birchas hamitzvah. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus that there are two distinct mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah, pirah v'rivya, everyone should see to it, he should have children. Another mitzvah, to get married, even before you get the children. The mitzvah to get married, lisa isha b'ksuba v'kiddushin, and livers for livers. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs lists off two different mitzvahs, and the whole Mishnah Torah is the details of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He lists off all the 613 mitzvahs, he gives you all the details of the mitzvahs HaTorah. So the Rambam's opinion is that the Birchas Harison is a regular Birchas HaMitzvah. So the Bracha should really be recited by the Chosen. It's his mitzvah, he should say. Taisus and the Rosh disagree with the Rambam. They're of the opinion there is no mitzvah to get married. The mitzvah is to have children. If you don't get married, how are you going to have children? Well, go to a prostitute. So that's not permissible. So just like you have to buy a lulav in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, you need shalachem on the first day. So purchasing the lulav is a hechsher mitzvah. So over here, getting married is hechsher mitzvah. It enables you to have to fulfill the mitzvah piru riva. So according to Tosfos and the Rosh, what are you saying a bracha when you get married for? It's not a birchas hamitzvah. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah now. It's a birchas hashevach, and that's why you don't say hashem kadoshana b'mitzvos v'tzimana l'kadesha so isha. We say a long, drawn-out, complicated bracha. The kadosh ha'yisrael, the chupa, the kiddushin. It's a birchas hashevach. We praise our kodesh baruch hu that he gave the Jewish people this institution of marriage. Unlike the Ummah Salam, they have a different kind of marriage, and we have a different kind of marriage. The Ummah Salam also have a concept of marriage, Eishesish, but Bnei Yisrael have a more elaborate system of Ishus. So according to the Tosfos' opinion, the Birchas Harison should be recited by someone of the group who is present at the time of the wedding. As opposed to, according to the Rambam, the bracha should be recited by the Chosen. So how come the common practice is, even according to the Rambam, the Chosen never says the bracha, the rabbi says the bracha. But the rabbi is married already. What's the rabbi saying? The bracha is on the Shulchan Aruch. They explain that it's based on Yotza Moitzi. Why did the institute Dafki Yotza Moitzi? Let him say his own bracha. They say, Kedosha lo labayesh, it's min she'ni yadeya. Sometimes the chosin will not be that knowledgeable, so it'll be hard for him to say the bracha. He never said it. It's the first time he's getting married. He never said it before in his life. So he's going to fumble under the chuppah at his own wedding. He's going to be humiliated. He's going to say the wrong thing. He's going to mispronounce the words. So in order not, if the chosin is a knowledgeable fellow, let him say the bracha. If he's not knowledgeable, so then let the rabbi say the bracha. So they were concerned. They made a loyful kadesh lo levayesh is mishani adeya, not to embarrass those who are not so knowledgeable. So they said we never let the chosin say his own bracha. That's based on the Mishnah Bikurim, that the Mishnah says that b'tchilo, originally the practice was that all the farmers who knew how to recite Arami Avid Avi, they would bring the Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash. They would say Arami Avid Avi. And whoever didn't know how to say Arami Avid Avi, because they had a big plaque hanging on the wall, and Arami Avid Avi was in Rosh Tevis. He's not allowed to write less than a Sefer Sholem. So what are they going to write, the whole Sefer Dvarim? Are they going to come with a Sefer Torah? Every time a farmer comes, he's going to bring a Sefer Torah. Should be, you're going to ruin the Sefer Torah. You're going to keep on taking out a Sefer Torah. So they had a plaque on the wall, but you're not allowed to put less than a Sefer Sholem. And this is only a few lines, a few Psukim and Chumash Dvarim. So that, and if you put in Rashi Tevis, then there's no Issa. So who can figure out Aleph, 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 Vav, Men, Arami, Abadov, Yerim, Mitzrayim? It's very complicated. So most of the farmers could not figure it out. So whoever was knew Arami, Abadov, would see on his own, whoever didn't know how to say it. So they have somebody say it for him, and he would be Yotze with Shemei Koyin and with Yotze Moitz. So the Mishnah says that a lot of farmers stopped bringing the Bikurim. They were embarrassed. Everybody's standing in line. And the first two guys say Arami Avad Avi, they figure out the Rosh Hashanah, and the third guy doesn't know how to say. So they stop bringing the Bikurim. So in order not to embarrass the farmers, in order not to discourage them from coming and being humiliated, so maybe Takana, nobody says their own Arami Avad Avi, you always have someone else say. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that we have the rabbi say the bracha for the chosin all the time. So how is that? How is he Mechuyi Bedover? How was the rabbi called Mechuyi Bedover? The rabbi got married 50 years ago. How is he called Mechuyi Bedover? The answer is, he's Jewish, And if he gets married today, he has a mitzvah to be married. In principle, he's mechuyev. He shares the same mitzvah in common with the chosn. He's not getting married today, but he shares this mitzvah in common with the chosn. So that's called mechuyev bedover. So everybody agrees to that. That's called mechuyev bedover. So the Tosfos shita is that by yotza moitzi, based on that Gemara and Brachas that the Avnei Nezer has, Avnei Nezer and Hilchas Kir Shofar points it out, that yotza moitzi doesn't mean I'm only saying the bracha for him. No, I'm obligated to say the bracha if it'll help someone else be yotze. So I'm obligated to say, and he's yotze along with me. But if I'm a ben ir and in my present status, I can't be yotze mikra megillah on a day other than the 14th. So you can't say yotza moitzi.
The rabbi's not
making
the mitzvah
condition.
Isn't any girl
already? The rabbi today is not
making the mitzvah,
right?
So he's making
the
bracha, but
he's, as
by
kiddush
and by
shofar
and by megillah, he's being
the mitzvah. Here he's being the mitzvah, saying the bracha. The chosan is obligated to say the bracha. He doesn't know how to do it. Doesn't know, or we don't want to embarrass the other chasanim.
There's a chiv to make a bracha on mitzvah even when it's not mekayim a mitzvah.
No, the chassan is doing a mitzvah. The chassan is b'chuyif to say the birchas ha-mitzvah. And if the chassan doesn't know how to say it, we're afraid this chassan is very learned. He's a yeshiva guy. He knows how to say it. So we don't allow this chassan to say. But he has to have the bracha. And we don't, either we twist his arm, we don't let him say, or Itaka doesn't know how to say the birchas ha-mitzvah. So we need someone else to say to be yotze the bracha and to be yotze the chassan along with him.
Where do we find that? When it says a berchus ha-mitzvah and he's mekayim the chiv to say a berchus ha-mitzvah, or that actually, normally berchus ha-mitzvah is called on a mitzvah.
Same as by the kiddush. Why? He already kiddush, said kiddush.
Right, but by kiddush, he has a chiv to say this kiddush is, you're yotze kiddush through saying the words. You're not yotze the mitzvah by saying the berchus ha-mitzvah.
Kiddush may also be a berchus ha-mitzvah on the observance of Shabbos. He makes the Shabbos into his abstaining from Malacha becomes a shvisa hanikeres. Maybe it's also a birchas ha-mitzvah on the observance of the Shabbos. But he already said a birchas ha-mitzvah. So we say you're obligated to say a second birchas ha-mitzvah on the same mitzvah, even though you don't need it. No, since there is a Jew who needs your kiddush, so we say, kol gesol ha-rebim zebizet, you're mukhiv to be yotzi kiddush a second time, because that's going to help someone else, we'll be able to say yotza moitzi. So that's fine. I'm mukhiv to say kiddush today is Shabbos. I'm mukhiv to say kiddush a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time. I can be yotzi kiddush on Shabbos. And I could be yotze the bicha service and also today. But you can't be yotze the mikra megillah if it's not Purim. It's the wrong day. It's only he has a kula, but I don't have that kula. I'm not a ben kfar. So that's the Tosis quotes in the Yerushalmi. You cannot say that the ben ir is going to lay, like, you cannot say like Rashi in the beginning of Megillah, that the ben ir is going to lay for the ben kfar to be moitzi them because they were not knowledgeable.
So if you have a guy who can't speak, so then, and he has a lulav and esrog, then he wants to be yotzei lulav and esrog. I can make the bracha for him, and I won't be mekayem the mitzvah, and he will take the lulav and esrog.
Avada. Yeah. It says like that in halacha. Yeah. There's a discussion. Let's say a fellow shechting a behemah and he can't speak, and he's supposed to say a bracha shekadoshan b'mitzvos v'tzimano al hashchita. So there's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, but no one is obligated to shecht the behemah. So can I recite the bracha on his behalf? Because since he wants to shecht, he's obligated to say a bracha. He's unable to. He's a mute individual. He's able to hear. He's not deaf. But he's mute. So maybe I'm obligated to say the bracha for him. But he say, no, he wasn't obligated in the first place to shecht the behema. So why am I obligated to help him out? I'm only obligated to help out those people who really need help. Let the guy not shecht the behema. So he won't need a bracha. So that's a dispute in the Shulchan Aruch. But if not for that, he's shaking a lulav and he's mute. Everybody agrees. He's mukhiv to say bracha, is unable to do it. So I'm obligated to say that I'm able to say the bracha for him. And I better say the bracha in such a way that I'll be yotze the bracha. I have to be mashmir li oznai. If I won't be mashmir li oznai, and the bracha for me would have only been b'nei'evet, then he'll only be yotze b'nei'evet. He won't be yotze l'chatchila. So this is a famous machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. The basics, the ABC, on the Yom HaKnisa, where are they gathering together? So Rashi says they're gathering together, the Bnei HaKfarim are gathering together in the ear. Mesapkemayim amazon lachem sheba orim, They go into the city and they hear Kriyas HaTorah and they hear Mikra Megillah. And the Tosfos denies it. Tosfos says it's Bnei HaKenisa, they don't have a daily minyan in the little villages. They only get together in Shul on Sheni V'Chamishi. They gather together in the Shul on Sheni V'Chamishi. Not they go into the city. They do go into the city to supply Maim HaMazayim. That's why the rabbis were makel that we allow them to be Yotze Mikra Megillah before. But when they read the Megillah, they're not reading in the city. They're reading the Megillah in their kfar, Tosfos says. Hayikara Megillah bi'iram, in their kfar, not in the big city. Yamak Nisa means they gather together in shul. They only have a minyan 3 days a week, Sheinim Chamishi and Shabbos. That's a big machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What's the Yamak Nisa all about? So Reish Lakish raised the issue to Rabbi Yochanan. Shouldn't this be a violation of Loisa's Goydidu? So what's the answer? So the Gemara seems to give an answer. It's in two different cities. That's what it sounds like. The answer is two different cities. How is that exactly? According to Tosfos, we understand it's in two different cities. They're reading the Megillah and the Kfar on the Yom HaKnisa. And in the big cities, in the Ayoris Gedoilis and Krachim HaMakafim Chaimah, they're reading the Megillah and Yudalit and Tezva. But according to Rashi, the Bnei HaKfarim are reading the Megillah in the year. So you can't say it's in two different cities. It's in the same city. They come into the city on Monday or Thursday before Purim, and they Yotze Mikra Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa. The people who live in the big city are Yotze the Mikra Megillah only on Yudalid and on Tezvav. So it is in the same city. So that's why Rabbi Nachaim and Tosfos is Machriach. It has to be the way he's saying. The whole Hemshech of the Sugya sounds like that. The answer in the Gemara was, it's not Los Hiskodor if it's in two different cities. What does Rashi do with Tekasha? It's in the same city. And the Gemara sounds like it's a different city. So the Rishonim explain later, when you get deeper into the Sugya, Rishonim explain, the whole topic of Loisa's Goydidu only applies if you're concerned, you're making Agudas Agudas. It looks as if Nasis Torah Kishtei Torahs. It looks as if it, Rashi writes on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, on the first very wide line, the Damiel Ishtei Torahs. It looks as if it's two different religions. But here, this is what the religion preaches. The Jewish Torah says that the people who live in the Kfarim, this is all part of the Takanas. One big Takanas Chachamim. They're Yotze in the Megillah on Yom HaKnisa, they're Yotze Megillah on Tezvav, they're Yotze Megillah on Yudalit. Kach Tiknu Chachamim. So according to Rashi, that's going to be the answer. The reason why there's no violation of the Lord's God is not that it's in two different cities, and it doesn't appear like Agudas Agudas. So we already saw the Gemara, Abai Barabbah had a machlokes on Yudal and Menah. Abai says if it's two different cities, then there's a loisis goyderu. And Rabbi disagrees with Abai, even if it's in the same city, but it's two different batidin and biyarachas, there's also no violation of loisis goyderu. It's only if it's bebez nechad biyarachas in one shul. Half of the people are going to do one way, half of the people are going to do the other way. That's nasis torah kishtei torahs. So according to Rashi, it is in the same city. How do you avoid the loisis goyderu? So the Rishonim say, the Ritva says later, no, there's no Nasis Turkish Taitaris. That was the Takanas Chachamim, that they should be Yotze on different days. Why did they make such a strange Takanas Chachamim? That's a good question. Why did they make such a Takana, leave out the Yoy Maknisa? Why did they make a Takana that the Bnei HaKrachim should be Yotze on Tezvav, the Bnei HaYor is Yotze on Yudalit? Wouldn't it make more sense that she make one Takana, everybody should be Yotze on one day? Usually the dinim are the same for everybody. So it's interesting, Rav Shlomo LaVilna has Heoris and the Vilna Shas printed in the back of Maseches Megillah. So his first comment on the opening Mishnah is, he suggests that maybe what motivated the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah to institute the Takana Purim in such a way that they should be Yotze and Tezvav, they should be Yotze and Yudalit, wanted everybody to know that it's only a Takana Derabon. It shouldn't look like a Din Derais. A Din Derais, it says, Tarach Ziyolachem Lager. Well, the Ezrach Or is everybody has exactly the same Din. So they didn't want it to look like a violation of Bal Tosif, as if they're adding on another mitzvah to the mitzvah Satara. So they built in a clause that it shouldn't be Tarach, it should be different. Some people should be Yotzen Yudav, some people should be Yotzen as well. So it's a dead giveaway that it's only a Takana Derabon. Okay, it could be. That's what the Rishonim explained, that since this is all part of the Takana, so it's not Nasis Turkish Day Tyrus. Nasis Turkish Day Tyrus is, if you have a machlekes, whether you're supposed to wear tefillin or chalamoid or not, and you go to any given shul any day of the year, any weekday of the year, almost everybody's wearing tefillin. Once in a while, someone came for the bathroom. He came late. He doesn't have to. You look around. 95% of the people, 99% of the people are wearing tefillin in the shul. So that's not a problem. I've like to go to because one or two people don't have tefillin because they came late or they're leaving early or whatever. But if you're going to come chalamoy to the shul, half the people have tefillin, half the people don't. So it's a dead giveaway that there's a machlekes. There is no halacha that some people should wear tefillin, some people should not. It's a chiluki day, so that's Nasa's Turkish day Thursday. But if you have some people are going to be etz in the beginning on Tezvavs, in the same city, some are going to be etz, they're going to read for the Bnei HaKfarim on Yom HaKnisa. They're going to read for themselves either Yudalat or Tezvav, whatever they are, a kfar, anir, or a krach. So that's not a violation of what is going to do. So Rashi will have to say, because kach tikna chachamim is not Nasa's Turkish day Thursday. That was the original takon in the first place, that different people should be etz on different days. They treat that like shnei batidin in the irachas. That's one minion, and this is a tefillin. So this minion, no one's wearing tefillin. This minion, everybody's wearing tefillin. So everything is fine. The question is, what do you mean? But it's still in the same shul. That's what you're saying. It's still in the same shul. Okay? It's a problem. It's a problem.
Is there an issue for Ben Chutzar Shal and Arez Yisrael, for Yom Tov Sheni, of Los Eskodudu?
Rabbi Yosef Kara has a tshuva in Afkas Reuchel where he says that it is an issue of Lois Eskodudu. They shouldn't make their own minyanim. If you make a separate minyan for Bnei Chutz Loretz, then it's an issue of Lois Eskodudu. Yeah? If they already have the minyanim, and I go to that minyan, so I don't know, I don't think I'm in violation of Lois Eskodudu. But if I'm the one who organized the minyan, so the one who organizes the separate minyan, Rabbi Yosef Kara said that's an issue of Lois Eskodudu. You're not supposed to make separate minyan. They should blend in and daven with everybody else.
But the tefillin is also going to be an issue.
That one?
If everybody else is wearing tefillin and you're not.
Okay. So let them wear tefillin. Those who wear tefillin, chalamoyed. Or an isru chag, the day after. So let him either daven at home, if he wants to wear tefillin. Let's say, if everybody's wearing tefillin, he doesn't want to wear tefillin. So let him daven at home. Or let daven and shul put on the tefillin. And have in mind that it's Mishum Lois Eskodudu who is putting on the tefillin, and that he doesn't want to be out to the mitzvah because by him it's Yontif. Okay. Yeah. So that was Rish Lakish's kasha. So Rabbi Yochanan says, when you wake up, you discover in America that there's a din of Mikra Megillah on different days, and you're worried about Lois Eskodudu. Atkan lo shanisa. There's a Mishnah earlier than Megillah Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Didn't you learn Moed in order? Haven't you covered the Mishnah in Psachim Daf Nun, in the beginning of Machm Shenogu, that in different communities they have different minhagim? Some places they do melacha up until Chatzos and Erev Pesach. Some places they don't do melacha before Chatzos. And in all the places after Chatzos, you're not allowed to do melacha. So why isn't that a violation of Lois Eskodudu? So the answer obviously is, it's in two different cities. So the same thing by the Mikra Megillah. That's what it sounds like he's leading up. The same by Mikra Megillah is two different cities. That's Rab Chaim Koyen says in Taisu. You see, not like Rashi. See that the Bnei HaKforim didn't hear the Megillah in the city. They heard the Megillah in the other city. Two different cities. That was the answer. So Rabbi Yechanan, so Rish Lakish answers back, no, that doesn't bother me. Lois Eskodudu is only if it looks like Nasa's Turkish Day Torah when you're observing a din differently. Two different people, two different communities, observing dinim differently. But if you want to have minhagim, so each one has his own minig. A minig is mitam neder. A minig is mitam neder. Usually a neder, the rule is nefesh kisishova levate bisvasayim lahora lahetiv. The Gemara says, Goma, believe a person made up in his mind that he's accepting a neder of shvuah, it's not binding yet. Tzoch lahetzi bisvasav, he has to pronounce it with his lips. Shenemar, that's in Parshas Vayikra. But there are some exceptions to the rule. The Gemara says that by Hegdish, the Pasuk says in the Yomim called Nadiv Levayla Seviu, whoever had taken a nether in his mind to bring a Korban Oila to the Beis Hamikdash, they brought the Korban Asayla. That's the Gemara Shavuos and Daf Chavov and Beis. that Gama believe Amashmo Gama believe but Sarah Lahitsi Biswasov. You have to pronounce the neder of the Shmuel with your lips, because Levati Biswasim, unless it's Hegdish. So the Rishonim add on Hegdish and all Nidre Mitzvah. If you take any neder mitzvah, it's Chal Belev. So that's what the Gemara says in the Dorm, that Midirabanan, they treat a minig as if it's considered like a Dvar Mitzvah, and it's Chal Belev. You always have this minig, either the individual person has the minig, or the community has the minig, he always has its practice. If he does it three times in a row, even though he wasn't thinking about what's going to happen in the future, so it looks like that's his regilus. It looks as if he's accepting upon himself always to continue to do this. Or if he observes the minig once, and he has explicitly in mind, he wants to continue to observe this. So strictly speaking, menator nothing was chal. It's not hegdish. Hegdish is chal belev. And it's not even a real dvar mitzvah. Let's say if they make an appeal in shul, if it's doke, and I make up my mind, I didn't call out. I make up my mind how much I want to give. So we pass in the shulchan aruch that nidrei tzedaka chal belev, like nidrei hegdish, just like kol nediv levo l'seviu, just like if you menadev to bring a korban oila belev, it's binding menatayra. So the same is by tzedaka. That's a real neder the dvar mitzvah. So what if the person took a neder belev to fulfill a minik toif, a nice minik? It's not, strictly speaking, it's not really a dvar mitzvah. It's not chal. But the Gemara says midirabbanan, meaning is binding mitam neder midirabbanan. Why is midirabbanan? Because he never said levati b'svasai, never pronounced it with his lips. And strictly speaking, it's not really a dvar mitzvah. You're not mechuyev to do it. If he pledged in his mind to give the korban, pledged in his mind to give tzedakah, then it's binding mikra din. A minig is only midirabbanan, a minig is binding mitam neder. So there's such a thing as a neder hayochid, such a thing as a neder hatzibur. How do you know there's such a thing? If the tzibur took a neder, the tzibur took a shvua, it's binding on all of the members of the tzibur. So that's the Gemara in the end of Ksubis. Comments on the psukim and Shir Hashirim. The pasuk is repeated three times. Hishbati aschem erosim shalaim im to'iru v'im to'iru esa ahavo ad shetechpots. That's what the Gemara in the end of Shavuos talks about, the Shalosh Shavuos. The three Shavuos that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people accept upon themselves. The Shalosh Shavuos is the Hungarian hang-up, why you're not allowed to establish Medinas Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the Jewish people, forced the Jewish people to take an oath that we won't force the issue of the Medina until it'll be God's own good time. So that's what they held, that the Jews forced the British, they were killing all the British till they gave them the right to make a Medina. So the Hungarian Rabban said that was a violation of the Shalosh Shavuos. And they claim that as long as we maintain the Medina, we're always in violation of the Shalosh Shavuos, we have to give it back to the British. The British don't want it back. The whole thing doesn't make sense. Okay. So that's the Gemara has Shalosh Shavuos. So the Rav HaTshover writes, I never took the Shavuot. My grandfather never took Shavuot. My grandfather, no one in history remembers ever taking the Shavuot. Shlomo HaMelech composed Shir HaShirim Baruch HaKodesh. He writes, Hishbati Eschem Enosh Yerushalayim HaKodesh Baruch Hu Es Mashbiya Klal Yisrael. So what does it have to do with me? That was quite a few generations ago when Shlomo HaMelech wrote that this Shavuot had already been taken. So the answer is that's a Shavuot HaTzibur. There is a concept that Shavuot HaYochid is binding on the Yochid. And the Shavuos HaTzibur is binding on the Tzibur. Whoever belongs to that Tzibur is binding on the Tzibur. It says, not only the Tzibur of the whole Klal Yisrael, Shvati Chemeros Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the whole Klal Yisrael take a Shavuos. So whoever belongs to Klal Yisrael. So there's a Tzibur of the city. If in this city they have a Minig, whatever their Minig Toiv is, so that's considered a Tzibur, and that's a Shavuos HaTzibur. So Kozman, you relate to that community. I live in that Tzibur. I live in that city. So all the shvuas of that tzibur are binding on me. If I move to another community, let's say this community waits 6 hours between Fleshigs and Melchigs, the other community waits 3 hours. So I was born into this community, so I got to wait 6 hours. When I move permanently, I move to another community, and there they only wait 3 hours. I no longer belong to this community, I belong to that community. I never took the shvua. It's not a shvuas hayochid, it's a shvuas hatzibur. Because I belong to this tzibur, I'm obligated to observe the shvuas hatzibur. I moved to another community, I don't even need a Hataris Nadarim. I no longer am a member of this Tzibah, a member of that Tzibah. So this Tzibah doesn't have that Minik. Whatever Minhagim you have. Minhagim that you don't eat certain things, a Chumra of Chelev. Other communities do eat Chelev, this kind of Chelev, other communities don't eat this Chelev. It's an issue of Minhagim. So as long as you live in this community, the Shvu of this community is binding on you. The Gemara has about minhagim of a family. In Perek Malk Mishinoga, it says a family is also called a tzibur. So if a family has a minig to stop working every Friday at 12 o'clock, you don't work, or never to go traveling after 12 o'clock and any Friday afternoon, never to go on the Mediterranean, never to go on a boat, because who knows what can come up. So if Kozman, you remember that family, so you have to observe all the minhagim of that family. There's a minig is binding, mitam neder. There's a minig ha-yochid, a neder ha-yochid, then there's a neder ha-tzibur. So there's a tzibur of all of Kal Yisrael, that's one kind of tzibur. Tzibur of a city, then you have a tzibur of a family. It's also called a tzibur. So the Mishnah says that there are different minhagim. After Chatzos, the Mishnah says, that's a real din, that you're not allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. What kind of a real din? What is a din deraisa, din derabbanan? That's a question in the Rishonim there. What kind of a din? Where does it say in Chumash, you're not allowed to do malacha Erev Pesach after Chatzos? So the Tosfos on that Mishnah explains what it's based on. Some Rishonim say it's only a gzera derabbanan. We're afraid if they will allow people to do work, to do business work, and Erev Pesach after Chatzos, they're going to get so involved in making money, they're going to forget about preparing the Korban Pesach. So they're going to miss their opportunity. We're afraid they'll miss, they won't buy the matzahs. A lot of people wait till the last minute to buy the matzahs. So they're going to be busy making money on Erev Pesach, going to the office and coming back home. They may not prepare the Korban Pesach, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, may not prepare the matzah in the morrow. Other Rishonim say, no, that's not the reason why Rashi sounds like that. It's because of the chashash. They'll get so involved, they'll forget to bring Korban Pesach. Other Rishonim say, no. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's an Nisan Malacha because the Torah says, Yimuchiv to bring Korbanos HaMosofim. Whenever Yimuchiv to bring Korbanos to the Beis HaMikdosh, means you should dedicate the whole day to spiritual elevation. So on Chol HaMoed, also you're not allowed to do Malacha the same as on a weekday. So the Gemara raises the question, well, every day of the year the Jewish nation brings to meet him, Korban Tomas Shashach, Tomas Shabbein Abayim. So you should never be allowed to do malacha any day of the year, because the Klal Yisrael is mechuyev to bring the karbonos to meet him every day, and we're obligated to have a spiritual elevation in conjunction with that hakrobas hakorban. You don't just bring the korban in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you run away. You're supposed to stay around and abstain from malacha all day and try to get become more spiritual. The Gemara says, no, that you can't say. The Jewish people are not allowed to do malacha any day. It says the Chumash, we have safta de ganecha, b'sirosh v'yitzarecha. But if it's not the daily Korban Tomid, it's a day on which you bring musafim, like halamayid, or like Rosh Chodesh, you should try to abstain from malacha a little bit to become more spiritual. So Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, everybody participates. Theoretically, there's a chiyuv to bring the Korban Pesach. The chiyuv to bring the Korban Pesach should include with it an achiyev to become a little more spiritual, not to go to work, not to do malacha.
Is there any malacha on Rosh Chodesh?
The minig is that the women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. The men do malacha. It's only a minig that the women don't do malacha. So it's a question, why shouldn't it be the same as Chol HaMoed? I don't know. So we assume that it's Rosh Chodesh is included in the Heter of Yosafta Deganecha V'Sirosh Chavitzerach and Chol HaMoed. There are psukim that seem to indicate that there is, you should abstain from malacha. That's what some Rishonim hold, that malachas Chol HaMoed is Taka Deraisa. And others say, no, it's only the Rabbanim. But the psukim sound like you shouldn't do malacha. I don't know. So that's the question, why is Rosh Chodesh different from Chol HaMoed? It's a good question. How did the Chachamim decide that Rosh Chodesh is included in the Heter of Yasafta Ganecha, Chol HaMoed is not included? I don't know. So here, that's what the Tosfos quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Tosfos in the beginning of Makom Shenavu says, an Erev Pesach after Chatzos is when you bring the Korban Pesach. So that's like Chol HaMoed. So since you're obligated to bring an additional korban, not the regular talmud you bring every day, that says Ve'asafta Ganecha. So the Torah says there's a heter to do malacha. But on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, there is no explicit heter. Maybe the heter only goes on the normal weekday. So that should be the same as Chol HaMoed. You shouldn't be allowed to do malacha. Erev Pesach in the morning, so the Gemara says that's already not a din. That depends on the Mokam Shenoagu. So the Gemara, so Rabbi Yechanan says, don't you see that there is no issue of loisus goderu? So Rab Chaim Cohen says, what do you mean? It's in two different cities. Just like one city has the meaning not to do malacha in Erev Pesach in the morning, the other city has the meaning you do malacha. So in two different cities, there's no issue of loisus goderu. So the same is by Mikra Megillah, there's no issue of loisus goderu. That's what he's trying to prove. That's Rav Chaim Koyn, right? He's trying to prove that. So then Reish Lakish answers, that's not a good proof. He says, Amin Aloch Amalei, Reish Lakish tells Rav Yechon, five lines from the bottom of Yud Gimel and Beis, Amin Aloch Ano Isura, I'm talking about a real din. Mikra Megillah is a real takanim of the Rabbanon. That they have to lay in the Megillah on this day, they have to lay in on that day, they have to lay in on this day. V'atamrit li minhoga, you're talking to be about minhogim. What does he say? The whole concern of Elois is good as it is, it shouldn't look like shtei Torahs. So minhogim, everybody knows, a meaning is a meaning. You took a shvua, you took a neder, the meaning is binding me the Rabbanon, mitam neder. So if you took a neder, so you I never took the neder. So no, we should have license go to on the dorm. The dorm are personal, individual things. So even if you have two people in the same community, each person takes his own neder. So if you have two different communities, kavachomer. This community took a neder not to do malach. The other community never took such a neder. If it be in the same community, each person has his own neder. There's no problem. So that's where Reish Lakish answers back. He thinks that there's no wish of license go to on hogim, only on dinim. So then Rabbi Yechanan responds back, Vahasim Labi Surah have you? You think it's only an issue of Minhogim? That after Chatzos it's a real din. Probably a din with the Rabbanon, some maybe say it's a din deraisa, not to do Malocha, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, like Chalamoy. But Erev Pesach in the morning is only Minhogim. So he says, no, sometime I'm hold that it's also Medina. Probably only with the Rabbanon. There is a Machlaikis, Vahasim Labi Surah. Rabbi Yechanan says back to Reish Lakish, "V'hasam by not doing malach erev Pesach, lavi sura havi. It's all pure minhagim. There's no dinim at all. It's only mitam minig mitam neda. I've hatran. What's the din? Halayla leil yudalid. Rashi says leil b'tikas chometz. So it's a machlokes hatanaim. Is there an iser malacha only after chatzos, or even before chatzos, or even the night before leil yudalid? So it says b'shamay oisrim." It doesn't say Beshami Omrim, if there's a minig, you don't do malacha. It doesn't say Beshami, say it's not a minig shtus. One could have interpreted the machleg of Beshami still is, if you have a minig amokim, not to do malacha leil b'dikas chametz, is it binding or is it a minig shtus? So Gemara says, no, that's not the machleg. Whenever it's only minhagim, so Reish Lakish says, there's no issue of lois is going to do. But Rabbi Yechon and Tainus, here you have a machleg satanaim, so I'm telling him, hope that it's really Medina. Probably Midirabbana, Medina. Since Erev Pesach after Chatzos, you bring a Korban Pesach, so that should also the whole day be Malach, the whole day beginning, not just from the morning, the whole day begins from the night before. Hayom Halach Achar Alayla. So the whole Yudalit should be also Malach, because you have a Chiv to bring a Korban Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So the Shaila is that we really hold from this suggestion that Reish Lakish said. He said the difference between Menhogim and Dinim. He says, I'm Menhogim, Chilufe Menhogim, since Minning Bitam Neder. And in the same shul, you can have 100 people, each one has his own nedarim. So that's not Lois's Goydenu. Neder in the Chumash is an individual thing. There's no wish of Lois's Goydenu. So do we really accept what he said, that in Minhogim there's no Lois's Goydenu? The Minhogim when you take off the tefillin. These all Minhogim. Or other Minhogim. Whether you put the talus over your head, you don't put the talus over your head. You're not talking about real din, we're talking about Minhogim. So is there a din of Lois is good and not Minhogim? Or do you say like Reish Lakish, Lois is good is only on din and not on Minhogim? So some of the Rishonim say Beferish. The Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, they say that the din of Lois is good applies to dinim or Minhogim. What do you do with the Gemara? He says, no, that was Reish Lakish thought like that. Then Rabbi Yechanan slugs him up that Afil Lefishi Toscha, you're wrong, that there are some Tanoim who hold Beishamai Oisrim. Some Tanoim hold that the Yisra Malocha Leil B'digas Chometz is Medina. It's not only a Minig, it's really Medina. So he says, Afil El Shitoscha, you're wrong. But really, Rabbi Yechanan is disagreeing with Reish Lakish from A to Z. He says, you're wrong. There is an issue of Lois's Godot, even on Minhogim. Reish Lakish attempted to make such a suggestion, and it was never accepted. So it's a Nitchela Maskana. We really hold that there is a Din. That's a big Machleg. We really hold. There is a din of Lois is going to do, even on Minhogim. So then the Gemara says, another klal. When is the only time there's an issue of Lois is going to do, if it looks like Nasa's Turkish day Torahs? Let's say some of the people are going to be going to work, some of the people are not going to be going to work. People not going to work doesn't necessarily, half the people take off on Thanksgiving, half the people don't take off on Thanksgiving. So the people that take off on Thanksgiving, Some people daven in the early minyan because they have to go to work. Some people daven at the 8:30 minyan because they don't have to go to work. So it's an issue of lois is going to do. No, you want to take off, gives them the hay. Just because it's taken off on Thanksgiving, taken off on Sunday, it means that there's an Issa Malacha on Thanksgiving. No one's implying there's an Issa Malacha. You want to take off. You take off whenever you want. So that's what the Gemara says, Hasam on the last two lines. Amalei Hasam, Harayam and Malacha hu delaislei. You want to take off, gives them the hay. The only time there's an issue of lois is going to do is if it seems like it represents two different shittas. So you have a machloikis, nasis torah dami l'shtei torahs. But if it's not so noticeable, if it doesn't necessarily imply that there are chiluki deis over here, then there's no issue of lois is going to do. That's what Tosis raises the issue later. The Gemara says, Rabbi Apohu. Lo havi mitaltal shraga. Rabbi Bo wouldn't Shiloh. We discussed yesterday. Moshe shemesh b'ner. The flame is muktzan Shabbos. So the hanach l'ner shemet apsila. The cup and the oil and the wick are all a bosses davar osser. It's a bosses davar osser. Calls man the flame is burning. When the flame goes out, there's no longer any reason to declare it as a bosses davar osser. So that's a machlekes hatanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. A big machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. How far do you go in hilchas muktzah? So Rabbi Yehuda holds as a dina of migudis katzoy the ben hashmasha. Since the flame was burning in the tchilas al Shabbos, so the ner shemet apsila will retain the status of muktzah throughout all of Shabbos. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. It happens that we make a compromise, even though we pass like Rabbi Shimon, but here we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Tosis points out. Lo havim etaltol. The Tosis yudal and manat. Lo havim etaltol. So Tosis quotes from the end of Masechet Shabbos Kufn and Vav that we make a little compromise over here. Even though we pass on like Reb Shimon most of the time, but here with respect to Migudis Katzoy, we do pass on like Reb Yudah, that we do say Migudis Katzoy. So the Gemara raised the issue about the Moshe Shemesh Abiner. Would there be an issue of Loises Goydadu if some people are following Reb Yudah, some people are following Reb Shimon? So why should there be a problem? Some people are following Reb Shimon, that is Mutar L'Talto. The other people follow Reb Yehuda, they're not going to handle it. So just because they're not going to handle it demonstrates that they hold it, it's osur. They didn't demonstrate they hold it's osur. There's no need to carry, if it's mutar l'taltal, saying mechuyev to be metaltal. He doesn't want to be metaltal, so let him not be metaltal. So that's what Tosis asks. Lo havi metaltal shraga. So how do you see that there's nasis Turkish day Torahs over here? The Tosis says no. It means that the cup with the oil fell on his beged. And he's standing on his head to get it off of the beged without handling the cup. So just pick up the cup and move it. So even if it's a big shas hatchak, he's not going to move the muktzah because he holds from the din amigurus katzoy. So then it's boldly, then it's nikir, it's obvious that he's holding like Rabbi Yehuda, that you do say amigurus katzoy. But just because the Moshe Shemesh Abiner is sitting on the table and he doesn't remove it, so don't remove it. So that's not going to be a lois is going to do. That's what Tosis picked up from this Gemara. The Gemara, Hasam Harayo Aimer, Malachu Hudaleislei. Let's say you have two different minhagim, whether you fast on a certain day. Sheni Machamishi B'Sheni, I don't know, you have two different minhagim. So some people are going to run out right after davening and eat breakfast. Other people are not going to run out. Not everybody runs to have breakfast right away. But if he doesn't eat lunch and doesn't eat supper, then it's boilet that he's fasting. He's not fasting, so then it's going to be nikkur. But just because he doesn't run to eat breakfast right away, that itself is not a violation of lois is going to do. There's only a discussion of lois is going to do if it's nikkur, if it's boiler. That's how the Gemara says on the bottom that we do accept lalo. That's the Gemara, Yudgim on the base. That's the Tosis repeats it, Dibram on Yudal and Aleph, and Dibram Aschala Havi Mitalto. If it'll be boiler, then it'll be an issue of lois is going to do. Yeah, yesterday we spoke a little bit about Bemkom L'Sharab Lezer HaYukoris HaMeitzim Lassas Becham and B'Shabbos. So the Tosis here, Bemkom L'Sharab Lezer, Yudal and Al says, they went out of their way to do it like that. Every time a baby was born on Shabbos and there was a bris scheduled for Shabbos, they would dafki do like that. Mishum Chibav HaMitzvah, to demonstrate how precious, how much we cherish the mitzvah of Milo, that is Deicha Shabbos, it would Deicha Shabbos all the way. We break off branches, and we make a fire, we melt the metal. Yeah, that's how Taisa says over here. Many Rishonim there in Shabbos say the same. The Taisa on the first daf and Rav Lezer the Mila does not agree with this Taisa. Taisa there says, no, it means if it happened that there's no knife, so then you're allowed to do this. But you're not supposed to go out of your way to do it like this. So that's what the Rishonim, the Chidush around there in the beginning, Rav Lezer Mila explains. We already discussed this when we started the Masechta. There is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch between the Mechaber and the Ramah representing the machlokes of Rishonim. It's the last Mechaber and Ramah in Hilchas Milo, in Yeridei Chelek Gimel. But the Milo Bizmana is Derech Shabbos, is a Bechina of Hutra or Dechuya, and the Nafkamina is Efshe Lekayim Shnei. If you can avoid it, should you try to avoid it? So if something is Hutra, that's the Gemara in Yuma, Davav, the difference between Hutra and Dechuya is Efshe Lekayim Shnei. So Tosfos over here holds that it's Hutra, so you don't have to try to avoid it at all. So you can do all the Chilul Shabbos you want. And the Tosfos in the beginning of Rav Lezer and the Mila thinks that Mila b'Shabbos is Dechuya, it's not Hutra. And even the Rav Lezer says, Yemate, that even the Machshirei Mila, it's also only Dechuya, it's not Hutra. Other Rishonim say, even if you hold that Mila b'Shabbos is only Dechuya, but Rav Lezer holds Hutra, how can Rav Lezer say, even Machshirei Mila, Dechuya Shabbos? Isn't that a dead giveaway that he holds Hutra? No. Tosfos and Shabbos says, no, he also holds the Chuya. But the Machlokes is, the Chachamim hold on, Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim hold, it's only the Chuya for the actual Mila itself. You can't do the Mila in Bod Yom. So that's Dechah Shabbos. And Rabbi Lezer says, even the Machshiri Mila, Sheyep Shalas in Bod Yom, also Dechah Shabbos. So that's a big Machlokes. And there are more. The Ramah thinks that it's Hutra, and the Mechaber thinks that it's Dechuya. The Gemara continue proceeds to discuss towards the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis. The memory of the Tana Rebbe Elazar, Homer Rebbe Tosefta, here, 5 lines from the bottom. Homer Rebbe Elazar, Afal Pishnechel, Bisham Yisil Betzorais, they argue whether the Tzoras Habas is Misya Bemis or Tzoras Habas is Materis Baloi Chalitza. Moidim, they all agree, Shem Amzarel of Mishi Suri Serer of Mionish Koris. What is he driving at? What's he trying to say? So the Gemara says on Amud Beis, even though Beisham may say it's not right, but Beis Hillel allows the Tzoras Habas to go marry without Chalitza, Shama say that Tzoras Habas either choletz or some misya bemes. Still say ain't a choletz of any misya bemes. She doesn't need any chalitza at all. So even though Beishame hold that Beis Hillel are doing wrong, that they allow the Tzoras Habas to marry without chalitza, but if she goes ahead and she marries and she has children, they're moidim to the Beis Hillel that the children will not be mamzer. The moidim she ain't mamzer elamishi surah iser erba v'yonish koris. There is no chorus. There's only a lav. What's the chiddush that moida that there's no mamzer? So the Gemara says, even though Rabbi Akiva holds yesh mamzer without pukim, with the Rabbi Akiva about the 15 lines from the top of Yudal and Beis, the Gemara says gufa. What does the Gemara have? But they quote this memory of Rabbi Loza. They quoted about 8 lines from the top. Gufa Amar Rabbi Loza. Up in time b'shamisul b'tzoy mamshay mamzer mishisuri sereva mamishkos. What does it mean? It means, even though Beis Hillel are doing wrong according to Beisham, they allow the Yevam al Ashuk to marry without Chalitza, but it doesn't affect the children. Children will not be mamzerim. Why? Lapukim at the Rebbe Akiva, the Omer Yevsh mamzer mechabi lavin, kamam shmalon, they mamzer mechabi lavin. Okay. That's how the Gemara explains. We don't follow Rebbe Akiva. The Gemara has a Tosefta that not only did Beisham and Beis Hillel disagree in Inyone issues and Inyone Mishpacha regarding Tzoras Habas, there are other disputes also that have to do with Eishes Ish and the status of the children. The famous Machlokes, the Gemara quotes, is when you Mekadosh an Isha, Beisho Bekesef, how much does it have to be worth? Mekadosh an Isha Bekesef. So it has to be worth a Pruta, or does it have to be worth much more than a Pruta? Rashi becomes a Pruta. Is a pruta shal nechoshes, it's a kappa coin. So Beis Hillel say, bepruta b'shava pruta. Bishami say it has to be bedina b'shava dina. A dina is the, Rashi says, a dina is the lowest silver coin that there is in the coin system in the days of the Tanaim. So Bishama say b'kesef or b'shava kesef. B'silva say b'pruta b'shava pruta. Kesef means the lowest silver coin, which is bedina, which is much more than a pruta. B'shama say b'silva say a pruta is good enough. So let's say a man would be mekadosh an isha with less than a dinar, but more than a pruta. So according to b'silva, the woman is an eshes ish. She's not allowed to marry someone else unless the first husband gives her a get. According to Bishama, the woman is not an eshes ish. She's there with the woman to remarry. If she remarries, Bisilva say her children are going to be manzerim from the second husband, because she was married to the first husband. So the Brisa says, even though they had a disagreement, and Bisilva say, you Bishama, you're paskening wrong. You're permitting an eshes ish to remarry Lashuk, and it's an Issa Kores, so the Vlad is going to be a mamzer. So nonetheless, the Tosefta says, Lenimnu, they didn't restrict. They would marry each other. How could they marry each other? But it's taka going to be a mamzer. So the Gemara says, obviously, hodil. They notified each other. They would notify, so then there wouldn't be any problem. What were the other cases where they had arguments and inyoni issues that are relevant taka to make? So the Brisa, the Toseftas, Afa Bishnach, Mishamisil Bitzoris, then Ba'achoyas. What's Ba'achoyas? Rashi said that's a Mishnah later, Chavov. That's the case, there were four brothers. So two brothers are married to two sisters. We assume that's permissible. We mentioned. Tosis mentions later in the name, Tosis quotes the Sefer Hasidim. So Hasidim says that two brothers should marry two sisters. That was never accepted, because the Mishnah sounds like it's Hetagoma. Why should two brothers not marry two sisters? Because if one brother will die leaving no children, then there won't be a mitzvah of chalitza or yibum on the sister, because it's achos ishtoi, because she'll be an erva. So when you marry, so the first brother has to get married. You get married. Marry whoever you want. When the second brother is deciding whom to marry, let him not marry his sister-in-law's sister. The brother who gets married second should never marry his sister-in-law's sister, because in the event that either he or the first brother will die leaving no children, so there won't be any mitzvah of chalitza even. So you're supposed to be concerned when you get married. Don't marry a girl that if you or your brother will die, believe, who wants to die, believe but him. Everybody plans to live on Nevi Esam Shana. Who's planning to die, believe but him? That's why we don't follow that opinion. This Sefer Hasidim, that's called Mevatel Mitzvah Yivam. So the Mishnah sounds like it's Mutter. So Nachman says, you have four brothers. Two brothers married to two sisters, and the two brothers married to the two sisters both die. And then the two remaining brothers are faced with the two Yivamas. So we'll repeat, and then Bizman HaTanoim, before Abishol came on the scene, and everybody's going to do Yivam. So would we permit each of the two surviving brothers? You can't marry both sisters. It's Aches Ishto. You can't be Miyab both sisters. There'll be a And Issachar is, can one brother be Miyabim one sister, the other brother be Miyabim the other sister? So Gemara says, neither is allowed to be Miyabim either, because it's Achayzik Kukosa, either because Yesh Zika, either because you hold Zakuka. Leyavam is like Ishtoi b'mikta, so Achayzik Kukosa is like Achayz Ishtoi midirabbanan. The Gemara says, the Yesh Zika is not a dim and a Torah Yesh Zika. If you hold Ein Zika, that Krovus Kikos is Mutarif Medirabon, so the Gemara says, it's a concern of maybe Mevatel Mitzvah Sivam. If I'm going to marry one of the two sisters, so then what's going to happen if, let's say, there were four brothers, so and two brothers were married to the two sisters, both die, and one of them is going to do Yibum, so maybe the other brother will die, and then there won't be any Yibum or Chalitza. There already is a Chiv to do something to the other sister. So if the other brother will die, he'll be Mavatel Mitzvah Yevamim. So what's the din b'dieved? If two brothers went ahead and they did marry the two sisters, they both did Yibum. One brother did Yibum on one sister, one brother did Yibum on the other sister. L'chatchili shouldn't have done it, because it's Achosu Kukosai, because Mavatel Mitzvah Yevamim. But at the end of the day, nobody's Achosu Kukosai. He did Yibum. Shai, within an hour of each other, they both decided they're going to do Yibum. So now no one has achosu kukosai, and each one did yibum. So there's a discussion in the Mishnah. Is there a penalty? Sometimes there is a penalty, sometimes not a penalty. Is there a penalty with the Rabbanim that since they shouldn't have done it, so they have to get divorced? So that's machlokes Bishama and Bisil. So that's the case of achoyas. But the two brothers married the two sisters, and they both died, and there were two other brothers. So l'chatchila, neither of the brothers is allowed to do yibum. What's the din? If they went ahead and they did yibum, is there a penalty with the rabbon? So the Mishnah is going to say sometimes yes, sometimes no. It's in the second perek, I think. Perek Dalarachim. Dalarachim is what? Is the third perek. Okay, the third perek. Let's discuss later in the program. What's Get Yoshan? What's the story of Get Yoshan? Let's say, what's Megarish Esishto V'lo Ne'ima B'Pundok? There's a Machalikas. It wouldn't be Mamzeris. B'di Eved, it wouldn't be Mamzeris. No, B'di Eved, it wouldn't be Mamzeris. I mean, so what's the Chiddush? The Tosefta is saying, even though there is a problem on Mamzeris, because Hoyumadim Zelazeh. So it sounds like you have to have a case where there is some Mamzeris. I guess it would be a Mamzim in the Rabbanim. It would be probably, it wouldn't be a Mamzim in Atur. It would be an issue of a Mamzim in the Rabbanim. So that's what the Brisa says, Hoyumadim Zelazeh.
I mean, it's a nice thing to do, by the way, it shouldn't be mamzerim, but it doesn't remove the problem.
That what?
When they would inform each other.
So when you would be dating my daughter, I would say, this daughter is not for you, because this daughter is problematic. According to your sheet, you follow the Bisil and the Beishamai, so this daughter is a mamzeris midirabonim.
And then he would voluntarily so go, restrained.
Yes, yeah, so go marry someone else.
You go marry someone else.
Yeah. The Gemara is this Tosefta is alluding to a machlokes b'sham v'silo, but lo na'ima b'pundoki. Let's say they live far away from Yerushalayim and they want to get divorced. So they travel into Yerushalayim, takes them 2 days, and they go to the Bezdin and they take care of the get. So then they're going to go travel back to their own home. So when they sleep overnight in a motel, so they have to go rent two different rooms now. He's no longer married to his wife. So it's an Issa Yichud. Kozman, he was married to his wife. There's no Issa Yichud. Now that he just gave her a get and they're traveling back all the way to their city where they live. So you have to go in two different cars. Because an Issa Yichud, they have to rent two different rooms. He's supposed to. So let's say, after he gave her the get, they slept, they wanted to save money. They were married for so many years, and now they got divorced. So they sleep in the same room in the motel that it shouldn't cost them so much more money. So that's a machlekes b'sham and b'silo b'di'evit. You say they were married for so many years and they just got divorced, but now they slept over together in the same motel room, and there were other people in the motel who saw that they went into a room. They didn't know that they just got divorced today in Yerushalayim. They saw other people saw them going into the room. So there is an institution of kiddush biyah. You're not allowed to do it mishum pitzusa, but there is an institution of kiddush biyah. So if the other people look to them like they were husband and wife, they're going to sleep in the same room, so maybe this constitutes Eidus Likim Adover. Maybe we should say Hein Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Hein Eide Biyon. So that's a machlokes b'sham and b'sul. The Yerushalmi Tosis in Gittin quotes the Yerushalmi, explains what does the machlokes depend on. So the Yerushalmi says there's another machlokes in the Mishnah, the end of Gittin, the very end of Gittin, what are considered grounds for divorce. You don't need grounds for divorce. You can get divorced without any grounds for divorce. But it's improper. It's not proper to divorce your wife unless you have a good cause. What constitutes a good cause? So Bishama, you have the opinion, only Motzah Bodva Erva. You're never allowed to divorce your wife, even if you fell out of love. Originally I fell in love. She was so good looking and everything. I fell in love with her. Movie star. And now I see someone else is prettier than her. So Bishama say, we would not permit you to get divorced. The only time you're allowed to get divorced is Motzah Bodva Erva. You're not allowed to live with her. Mesil say, Afila Motzah Acheres Nohemen. Even if he fell out of love, he doesn't love her anymore, so it's not going to be a happy marriage. So we allow you to get divorced. So Bishama, Lishitosim, hold, you're only allowed to divorce your wife if Motzah Bodva Erva. The Motzah Bodva Erva, and he drove with her to Yerushalayim and he gave her the get, and now he's going to sleep with her again. Obviously, he's just renting one room in the motel to save money. He doesn't want to rent two different rooms. But he's not going to have a beer with her. He knows that it's an issue of Motzah Bodva Erva. She's a Saita Safik, a Saita Vadai, whatever it is. He's not going to be bored at her. So Bisham, I wish you toss him hold, that there's no possibility of saying there's an umdur in the Muchach, that maybe he was bored at her, and maybe hein hein edi yichud, hein hein edi beer. But according to Beis Hillel, that we allow people to get divorced because he doesn't love her anymore. He saw someone else as prettier, but he was living with this wife for so many years. So even though he gave her a get, we have to be afraid. Maybe he was baller, and the other people in the same motel saw that they were going into a bedroom together. Looks to them like their husband and wife, they're going to be together tonight. So according to Basila, Lishitosam, we consider the woman as an Ishishish. We consider him as if he was Mekadosher again. So then if he was Mekadosher again, if she'll go marry someone else without getting a second get from the first husband, the children will be mamzer from the second husband. According to the Shammai, you're not choishish that maybe he was Mekadosher again. He didn't like it because it was Motzabod Dva'erfa. He's not going to remarry her. Al-Pidin, he's not supposed to be living with her. So that's Machlekes B'Shammai Mishilo that may be relevant with respect to mamzeris. So despite the fact that they had these Machlekes and they wouldn't refrain from marrying each other's children because they would be Madiya each other. That's how the Gemara says, they would be Madi each other. Get Yoshin also. You're not allowed to Mimgarish, but get Yoshin. Okay, Tosis has a strong Kashi here. So you see that Hoya Madim says that. That's the gist of what the Gemara is saying. Then we already discussed yesterday the last four lines on Yudala base. Abicham and Nuri wanted to make peace. This was an ongoing debate between the Bisham and Zil. They kept on saying, Bishilo said, you don't need chalitza by Tzoras Abbasla, just let the woman remarry. Bishamay were always screaming, she's a Yivam al-Ashuk. And Bishamay allowed the Tzoras Abbas to have Yibum. Bishilo said, it's an Issa Kuris. The children are to be Mamzer. So Rabbi Yechim Anuri says, why don't we make peace? Let's make a takana. Whenever there's a Tzoras Abbas, we'll insist that they should do chalitza. Bishamay should give in a little bit. Don't allow her to do Yibum. Even though usually mitzvah sivim kaidemus and mitzvah chalitza, let them give in lamar hashalom. Let them give in to Bisil, not to permit chalitza, and let Bisil give in a little bit. Bisil hamikra, then you don't need chalitza. Tzoras Abbas is no zikir. Let the Bisil be meida for the sake of peace, but the Bishamai require chalitza. And then what Gemara said on the previous daf, if you require chalitza mid the rabbanim by the Tzoras Abbas, then she will be a chalutz asur l'koin. The Mishnah says, according to Beis Hillel, she's not a chalutz asur l'koin, because you don't even need the chalitza mid the rabbanim. So Rabbi Manuri brought up this suggestion. Let's make peace, and let's insist you should need chalitza mid the rabbanim. So the Gemara says, but it never got off the ground. He was hacking. So it says on the top, he speak with Ligmar Sadovar as a nitra for Hashor. They were having this rabbinical conference, and Mistama, the Goyish, the Roman soldiers came, and they saw the rabbis going together, so they dispersed everybody. So he almost, Rabbi Yechman Nuri, almost accomplished his purpose of making peace, making a takana that the Bisil should agree, Beishamah should, they should all agree to insist on doing chalitza, but it just didn't happen. Sure. So that we saw yesterday already. Then the Gemara has a discussion. What would be the din a few lines after? What would be the din? According to Beis Hillel, the Tzoras Abbas may remarry, and she doesn't need chalitza. So according to Beis Shammai, that's Shaloi Kedin. She does need chalitza. So would it make sense to insist that the Tzoras Abbas who remarried to satisfy Beis Shammai Shita, we should have a do chalitza while she's married to the second husband? Would that make sense? Lech letzu, the Gemara has about 10 lines from the top. Echin aved luhu, hanach tzoris de bisila le bishamai, the tzoris Abbas who married someone without chalitza. So what would Bishamai say? Bishamai holds she's not allowed to remain married with the second husband. She has to have chalitza now. So would Rav Yechem Menuri recommend to make a takana the Rabbanan to satisfy Beis Shammai, to make peace between the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Would Rabbi Yechman Nuri recommend you should make peace by having the woman have chalitza from the Yovam? So the Gemara says that wouldn't be a smart thing to do. Mimisu agav rayu. The husband to whom she's married will realize there was a shaila whether they had a right to marry her in the first place. Beis Shammai say that she needed chalitza. So I was living with the woman in sin all the last 5 years. according to Beishama. We pass like this, so she doesn't need chalitza. But if you're going to be machmer like the Beishama to require chalitza, so the husband will varf anumchein and his wife shall be mimasiya gavrai. The husband will be no longer as lovey-dovey with the wife as he was before. You got to do the chalitza. But aside from that, it wouldn't pose a problem. Aside from that, it's a psychological problem. But al pi aloch, it's not a problem. A woman can have chalitza when she's an eshes ish to somebody else. The yavam has to say, loy chafatzti lekachta, I don't want to marry her. She's an eshes ish. What do you mean, loy chafatzti lekachta? So in Shulchan Aruch, they raise this issue. What's taka the din haloch al ma'isib is manazeh? Not at Tzoras Abbas. We don't allow it. We don't have any. There's a chemder of benigesh. Nobody has two wives today. That's about Ashkenaz. Nobody has two wives. Let's say a man dies, leaves no children, and the wife needs chalitza, and they didn't know. They live in Albuquerque. They never heard that you need chalitza. So the woman goes, and her husband is not alive. So she goes, and she remarries. Then 10 years later, she finds out she was supposed to have chalitza. So we would require every time she's living with her husband, she's living in sin. Because she's a Yivam Allah Shukla, she's a Mesachutz Lizar. So we will insist. We're not talking, according to Beis Hillel, should you satisfy Beisham Ashita and require Chalitza Midirabbanon to satisfy Beisham. We're talking a real din over here. The woman is a Yivam Allah Shukla, and she remarried Be'isr. She never had the Chalitza. Menatarish, she needs Chalitza. So we wouldn't say, Mimisi Agavrayu, we shouldn't introduce a Chumr Midirabbanon. It's a real din Menatarish. She's not allowed to remain married with her husband. Every time she's with her husband, she's in violation of the Yisr. So we would require that she has to have chalitza. Can you do chalitza while the woman is an eshes ish? So the Achrayim say, you see from this Gemara, that some Achrayim suggested she has to get a get first. The husband whom she married has to give her a get, and then you can do the chalitza. It doesn't make sense to do a chalitza while she's an eshes ish. How can the husband say, lo chafatzi lekachta? Will break his arm if he wants to take her. She's an eshes ish with an isa misa. So you see from this Gemara that it's not a problem. What is he saying? Lo chafatzi lekachta. So the Achrayim explained, if chafatzi lekachta, so then we would require of the husband he should give her a get, and then I would do the yibum. So since lo chafatzi lekachta, so we're not requiring of the husband to give a get. But there's no requirement that he has to give the get before the yavam can say, honestly, lo chafatzi. So lo chafatzi, sure. If it would be chafatzi, then we would insist that the husband has to give a get. So we assume, based on this Gemara, you see that you are able to do chalitza with the Yavama, even though she's now an eshes ish, she's married to someone else. You can say with a straight face, lo chafatzi lekachta. So here Tosfos has a different kash. Tosfos is bothered with a kash. What's the din? The top Tosfos on Tezayin Amud Aleph has this kash. It really belongs on this da, this kasha. So Tosfos asks a murderous kasha. There are chamesh esrei noshim where there's no zika. Why is there no zika? Because it's an iser erva. So whenever there's an iser kares, an iser erva, so there's no, how can it be a zika? So here, if the eshes ish married someone, if the yavam alashuk married someone else, so it becomes an eshes ish to the yavam. So she becomes an eshes ish. The zika should disappear. It's like the chamesh esrei noshim poitras tzoraseihem. So if she became an eshes ish, if she was either an erva at the time that the brother died, or if she becomes an erva afterwards, also the zika disappears. So whenever the yavama marries someone else, why don't you say shin she became an eshes ish? So that should cancel the zika. So that's what Tosfos asks. And the top Tosfos on Tezayinim and Alfim Taimar. If you all kiddush and atov sim yivom ala shuk, so then I should say that there's no zika at all. So Tosfos says that it's exeris hakosuv. You have a pasuk that says beferish. The si eshes hameis achutz, even though someone else was mekadosher, a pasuk sounds like, despite the fact that someone was mekadosher, she became an eshes ish, lacher, he still require the chalitza. Any other, if she becomes a different erva after nefilah, so then the erva lach and nefilah cancels the zika, but the erva eshes ish, that's a pasuk. That's where the top Tosfos answers. Tazayin amanal, the top Tosfos explains that. So Allah HaLamai said, that's relevant. B'zman is there, happens a lot of times. a woman loses her husband, she has no children, she really needed chalit, so she didn't know, she never heard of it, she remarries. So then even after she's married, we insist that she has to undergo chalit, and it's good. We allow her to do the chalit, even though at the present she's an Eish HaSish. We don't say that they're not able to say lo chafatzi lekachto. Lo chafatzi lekachto means I don't want to insist that she should get divorced. And we don't say that she became an erva lach and a filo, and therefore the zika disappeared.
She even remarried to a kohen? Because when she got married to the
Kohen,
so would you say
Hol Vishtar Yishtar?
Because so there's never
a Dishra Chalitza? Chalutza, Chalutza,
because
Hol Vishtar Yishtar. That's a good shayla. Do you have the right to say Hol Vishtar Yishtar if the husband now is a Kohen? I don't know. It wasn't Hol Vishtar. At the time she got married, it was B'Yissa.
But not Mikam Chalutza.
I mean, that Issa was removed. Now it's a different Issa. Chalutza. I don't know. You got to look in the Shulchan Aruch. I think it says not allowed. He's not allowed to remain with her if he's a kohen. So you're asking why? Why don't you say the Issa was an Issa Yivam Alashuk and there was no Issa Chalutza? And Holy Ishtari on the Chalutza. I don't know. It's a good Kasha, it certainly is. You got to look in the Shulchan Aruch what the answer is. A good Kasha. Then the Gemara big quotes a Mishnah, a brayser from Rosh Hashanah Daf Yudalit. The line begins: Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva Shalika Tesrik Bechad B'Shvat V'Nog B'Shnei Isurim. There is a machlokes. Maseches Rosh Hashanah begins with the Mishnah Dalit Rosh Hashanah. The 4 days in the year that have the status of Padina Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah Echad B'Tishrei is Ziyoyim Adin called by Yoyim Oven Lefan of Kibnei Mark. That's Rosh Hashanah for human beings. It's the Yom HaDin. And then there's a machlekes B'Sham and Misil. When is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis? Is it Tu B'Shvat or is it Rosh Chodesh Shvat? What's the difference, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis? What's the difference, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis? In Yiddish folklore, they have one of the Yiddish poets wrote the way Tu B'Shvat in Europe. The wind is blowing and the trees are full of snow and wind is howling. So he imagines as if all the trees are wearing talesim and the howling sound is the chazan davening varnamen and blowing the shofar, as if the trees are observing Rosh Hashanah the way we observe Rosh Hashanah. Has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah Ilanis, has nothing to do with the davening with the talisan and blowing shofar. Rosh Hashanah Ilanis is an issue, Rashi explains Poshe Pshat, that every year of the Shemitah cycle, from 1 through 6, you have to be mafresh shumas amaisis. Whatever grows in Shnas HaShemitah is hefker, so it's not chayv in shumas amaisis. But every year of the Shemitah cycle, mafresh something else. So the first 2 years of the Shemitah cycle, mafresh shumas gedolah, maisa rishon, maisa sheni. The third year, you mafresh maisa roni. The fourth and the fifth years are repeat of the first and the second years, and the sixth year is a repeat of the third year. So how do you determine what pairs belong to the first year, what pairs belong to the second year, what pairs belong to the third year? It's an afkamida. The second year is Maisa Sheni, the third year is Maisa Rani. And even the first year and the second year, which are exactly the same, but there's a din, Aser Te'ases Kol Tvua Zarecha, Yotzi Asoda Shona Shona, that's the pasuk in Parashas Re'ei, you cannot be Marfish Mishona Al Chavato. Even though the both afroshes are identical, the first 2 years are identical, you cannot be Marfish, even B'Di'ebet, if you Marfish Mishona Al Chavato, it's not Chal. You have to be Marfish each year's pairs on its own. How do you determine which pears belong to the pears are not such yekis that they grow from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah? They're sloppy. They start growing before Rosh Hashanah. They grow into after Rosh Hashanah. So how do you decide? So the halacha says that by tvuah, you go basa havo ashlish. Whenever the havo ashlish took place, if it took place in the second year, it belongs to the second year. If it took place in the third year, it belongs to the third year. And b'yerek, you go basa lakita. It depends when you pluck it off from the tree. That's a machlokes tosis in the Ritva. What does that mean? Biyerek you go, basa lekita. Lekita means literally when you pluck it off from the tree. That's how the Ritva says. And tosis in Rosh Hashanah says not exactly. Lekita means the gemar hagidol. When it's fully ripe and it's ready to be nilka. So even though you leave it on the tree another 5 days, and that was after Tu B'Shvat, since it was the whole gemar hagidol was before Tu B'Shvat, so that's called basa lekita. Machlokes tosis in the Ritva. And by Peres Eilon, you go Basa Chanota. That's a big machlek. It's also a machlek. What does Chanota mean? Chanota means when it's beginning to blossom. Chanota means the gemara of the blossoming, more along the lines of Avashlish. Big machlek is a Rishayna. Fine. So here, Esroig, even though Esroig grows on a tree, has a din like a yerek that you go Basa Lekito. The Maaseh Rebbe Akiva Shalikate, he plucked it off of the tree. And Esri Gigo Basa Lakita, despite the fact that all other Peres Eilon, Gigo Basa Chanota, whatever Chanota means, but the Esri Gigo Basa Lakita, the Gemara explains why. First off in Kedushin, the Gemara explains why Esri is different, because it grows a little differently. So he plucked off the Esroigim from the tree in between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat. And there's a Machlekes, Bisham and Besilel, whether these Peres, and this was in between the second year and the third year. So it was a toss-up, not an issue of Mishan al-Chavito, that's an issue on its own right. It was an issue, is it Maisu Shein or is it Maisu Rani? So it says, V'nog bo shnei yisurim. Echek de v'bisham, echek de v'silu. Bayes v'gigo bosa l'kita. So he did the l'kita in between the two zmanim that the machlekes is. When is the Rosh Hashanah l'ilonis? Is it Rosh Chodesh Shvat or is it Tu B'Shvat? So according to one who holds that Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah l'kita occurred in the second year, you need Maisu Sheini. According to one holds Rosh Chodesh Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah l'Ilonis. He did the Lakita after the Rosh Hashanah, so it belongs to the third year. It's mafish both. So the Gemara says that what? The Gemara is trying to prove whether Osa B'Sham B'Kedivreim, Allah Osa B'Sham B'Kedivreim. Shema Amino Osu. Since B'Sham was in the, even though they knew they were outvoted, they still followed their own Shita. Yeah, that's what we said yesterday. That's a double question. Tais didn't understand the whole topic. Tais is on Yudala Namanov, the second Tais. It says all over in Shas like that. Wasn't we raising the issue? Whether Otsu B'Sham? Of course they followed the Shita. He said there were two parts to Otsu. One part, to whether they themselves followed their own Shita, maybe Achram Lahatas. And even if they themselves did follow their Shita, are they allowed to pass into others like their Shita? Others who are not students of B'Sham or B'Sil. The Gemara says, not only also B'Sham Ki Devreim, they follow their own Rebbe Shita, that's their Rebbe Muvik. Of course, that's about also B'Sham. They even pass into others like that. How can they pass into others? That's not right. That's Acharam La'atas. So that's what the Gemara explained. They had another Machlekes with B'Sil. Well, the Acharam Lahatas applies when the miut is Mechadad Yitveh. So they held it doesn't apply, so they have to paskin for the whole world, like their Shita. But over here, just Rabbi Akiva, if he's Mafrish, of course, also by this also B'Sham, this Madrega, of course. That's what Taisa said, that's the first level of also Kidivreim. That says all over in Shas about also Kidivreim. The Gemara tries to prove also B'Sham Kidivreim. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Rabbi Akiva Gemara is topic lay. Rabbi Akiva did Shnei Yisurim, not because he's Machmef at B'Sham Yisil, because the Gemara says there in Rosh Hashanah, in the many disputes between the B'Sham and the B'Silo, one is Machma, one is Mekel. So the Gemara says, you have to make up your mind, do you belong to the B'Sham or the B'Sil? So if you're going to adopt the coolest of all of them, Gekule Shneim is a Rasha, because he's not following any Shita. He himself is not Chacham Sheigir Lo'ayro. So if he's going to follow the coolest B'Sham Kulub Nisil, he's a Rasha, he's not following anything. If he's going to follow the Chumras of both of them, the Gemara says he's an idiot, he's a moron. Aksil Bachoy Shecholach. He acts like a moron. So the Gemara asked, but Rabbi Akiva did that. He was Nog B'Shnei Yisurim, he was Nog the Chumra B'Sham and the Chumra B'Sil. Isn't that Aksil Bachoy Shecholach? What did he do that for? We do it a lot of times, Mazmanos, we do it all the time. You look in the Mishnah Berurah, Machlekes, you go to Chumra, everything go to Chumra, and every page in the Mishnah, you always go to Chumra. So that's for different reason, because we feel that Ein Yodeinu L'Hachriya. How can we decide in a Machlekes, Taisus, and the Rambam? We're going to be deciding like the Rambam, like Taisus. That's why we always go to Chumra. So that's what the Gemara says in Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva observed Shnei Yisurin, not because he wanted to be Machma Kedivrei Shneim. He didn't know what the din was. What he didn't know? He held the only follow Beis Hillel. But Gemara is topically his tradition. He wasn't sure about the tradition. What did Beis Hillel say? Whatever Basil said, the din is like Basil. We wasn't sure whether Basil hold Rosh Chodesh Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Ilanos or Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Ilanos. We pasken Tu B'Shvat. We assume that is Basil Shid. Rabbi Kiva was Gemari, astopically, his tradition was hazy, which sheet did Basil say? So because he wasn't sure, that's why he went to L'chumra on both. We know who says what. We know what the Rambam said. We know what Taisa said. We are Mesupik, which way to be Machriya. So because Ein B'Yadena Lachriya, so we feel as we're in the same boat as Rabbi Akiva. We're Machmir, we don't know how to be Machriya. So he says, since we're not sure what the din is, so it's not Aksil B'Chay Shecholach. That's the way they have in Shulchan Aruch. They have it once in a while. They recommend to be Machmir for the both Shitas. Then the Mishnah Berurah has it much more than once in a while. He has it very, very often. He recommends that one should always be Machmir for everything. The Gemara is Vaita discussing. Well, also Bishami Kedivrei Manan. So they quote the Mishnah from Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches. There is a Machlokes Shammai and Hillel, not Bishami, so Machlokes Shammai and Hillel. When is a baby reach the stage of Higia Lechinuch? A Kotn Shigia Lechinuch, there's a mitzvah of Chinuch Medrabbanan. The father has to see to it that the child shakes a lulav and that he davens and that he benches and so on. So let's say a little baby boy, girls are not, but a little baby boy is able to pick up lulav and an esrig, but he won't be able to do all the nanuim, straight ahead, to the right, the back, up and down. No, that's too difficult for him. So we pass in Kotna Hadela Nanea. That's the Gemara, the end of the third parak in Sukkah. Kotna Hadela Nanea is Aviv Lokech Lo Esrog. The father has to buy Dalamin. The Chi of Chinuch only begins when the child is able to fulfill a mitzvah Bishle Musa. If he just knows how to pick it up and Agbe Nafek Bay, but he doesn't know how to do the Nanuim, so that's not the mitzvah Bishle Musa, so there's no Chi of Chinuch at that age. If the child wants to shake a lulav because he sees his older brothers shaking, he sees the father shaking a lulav, want to do like that, he's a gzuntait, but you're not mechiv to be mechanachim at that young age. Or let's say everybody's eating Korban Pesach, and the kid wants to eat Korban Pesach also, but he's not able to eat a kezayis. I can't eat so much. So you're not mechiv to give him Korban Pesach. If he wants to, we'll give him. Okay, it's not an aveira if the kid is tohar. But you're not mechiv to mechanach the child unless the child is able to fulfill a mitzvah bishlei musa. So the Gemara records machlokes b'sham yisrael in two cases. One is by sukkah. An adult is only chayv in sukkah if he's not mitztayer. Mitztayer is potam in a sukkah. So let's say if the child, the mother is not going to sleep in the sukkah. Mother is going to sleep in the house. Weather is not so good. So mother is going to sleep in the house. The little kid is going to sleep in the sukkah. What's he going to do if he wakes up in the middle of the night? He's going to start screaming, mommy, mommy, and the mother's in the house. So she's not going to go take care of him. She's not going to take him to the bathroom. So if he's going to scream, mommy, mommy, go back to sleep. Okay, so he's not a mitzvah, but I'm in a sukkah. So the father has a chiv to mimachanachim. If the kid is going to wake up and say, ima, ima, he's not going to fall back because he's going to cry all night. If he would have been an adult, he would have not been mechiv in sukkah because he's mitzvah, but I'm in a sukkah. So since the kotn is not old enough, he's not mature enough to fulfill the mitzvah properly, so the father is not mechiv to mimachanachim. And Shammai Hazok and held not so. Ma'isa v'yod the kalosel shel Shammai Hazok, and his daughter-in-law gave birth to a baby. He made, the kid was only 2 weeks old. The kid doesn't understand anything. That's the push-up shot. The little baby was an infant. Mishama held that there's a din of chinuch, but a tiny little baby, you know, of course he needs the mother to take care of him. Can't take care of anything on his own. That's the push-up, the translation. So that's a machlokes by Sukkah. Same machlokes by Aliyah LeRegel, in the first Mishnah Chagiga. Is Hillel Rab the opinion the Rani Mukhiyev to be Machanech the children to be Oyle Regel if he can walk up Yerushalayim Laharabais holding on to the father's hand, because the Chiyev, the mitzvah of Ali Regel, seems that it's only fulfilled if you walk up from Harabais, if you walk up from Yerushalayim to Harabais. It sounds Al Pi Pashto, if somebody drives you up and you go in a wheelchair, you're not Yerushalayim to the mitzvah. You have to be able to walk on your own. And Beis Shammai disagree. Beis Shammai say there's a chiyuv chinuch for the little children if their father can hold them on his shoulders. The kid is not going to walk at all. If the father can hold them on his shoulders and bring them up to the Har HaBayis, then he's mechuyev in chinuch midrabban. So this seems to be a big machlokes b'shamay and b'silo, shamay and hilo, shamay and b'shamay hilo and b'silo. When does the chiyuv chinuch begin? B'shamay say mamash as an infant, when the father can call him on the shoulders, and a little infant you have to make a sukkah for him. B'silo say no, that's the last piece of Gemara in Perek Lulav HaGozel. The Gemara gives every mitzvah when the child is able to fulfill a mitzvah b'shlay musa. Loshan Gemara is kotna ha'ideh lehisateif. The father has to buy talis with the child. If he's a gil achinach, if he's old enough to know the his sateif, what does that mean? So Rashi and Erechin comments, that's a brayse. Rashi and Erechin comments, the child is old enough to understand that when you put on a talis, you put it on with the right hand. When you take it off with the left hand. Because it's not right to yank off, if a person is a righty and he finishes down, he's going to yank off the talis with his right hand. Shows that he wants to get rid of this mitzvah already. So when you're taking the talis off, you got to take it off with the left hand. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote it by tefillin. When you take off the shal rosh, so if a person is a righty, so you shouldn't take off the shal rosh with his right hand. The right hand is stronger. Take off the shal rosh with the left hand to show that you really would prefer not to take it off. You really would prefer to wear the tefillin all day long. So where does that chumrah come from, to take off the shal rosh with the left hand? The makor is that Rashi learns in the Gemara in Erchan that that's what the brisa means. That brisa appears in Erchan, brisa appears in the end of Lulav HaGozel. That the Lulav HaGozel, it's a long brisa. Part of that brisa, kotna hayder lehisateif, oviv lokech lo talis. What does it mean? When the child is old enough to know that you put it on with the right hand and take it off with the left hand, he knows how to fulfill the mitzvah bishlei musai. So then it's called the kotna shehigia lechinuch. So that's what the Gemara says, that shamay hazaken, osa b'shamay kidivrem, shamay hazaken was machmer halacha l'maisa. He knew he was outvoted. He was machmer to make a sukkah for the tiny little baby. So again, this was quoted in order to demonstrate osa b'shamay kidivrem b'nom l'b'natzmam, that they followed their own. That's what Taisa said. That's how bad it was. Pasha Taisa doesn't understand what the whole pilpul is. The Gemara is even going to prove on the next daf. Also, Bishamek, Abdaisa ben Hurkanis, his brother, and Tezainim and Aleph, he even paskin for the public. Also, Bishamek, all the way, they paskin for everybody, like the Bishamek, because they held that the Acharam Lahatas doesn't apply when the Miut is Machadadi Tvei. But here, the Gemara is just proving, also, Bishamek, for his own daughter in law, he was Machman. Also, Bishamek, so then the Gemara says that it doesn't necessarily prove. Doesn't necessarily prove that there's no problem of loisis goyderu. Maybe the element of the case there would be an issue of loisis goyderu. But here, hasam haroeh malafushi avikavit. It wasn't so conspicuous that he was doing it b'shem mitzvah sukkah. Maybe he did it because his daughter-in-law needed more air. They wanted to have a more fresh air in the sukkah. So that was the Gemara said before. If you're judging the issue of loisis goyderu, so whenever it's not noticeable, aroi aimer malocha udaleisle, if you don't have to move the moisture shemesh abinair, so if it's not noticeable, there's no issue of loisis goyderu. There were different issues blended in over here. The issue of loisis goyderu was one, the issue of acharam lahatas was another. And Mara says, maybe there was no issue of loisis goyderu. In other case, maybe there would have been an issue of loisis goyderu. This Mishnah in Sukkah and Afchav Ches is quoted here on Tezvavim and Aleph, and the Maharshal on Tezvavim and Aleph on the bottom of the Mashah has a famous comment. Why is it famous? Because Balabatim, Alor Mishnayis, notice it when you have the big, the Pharisees, all Mishnayis on the side of the Mishnayis in Sukkah, at the end of the third paragraph, Daf Chav Ches, they quote this Marshal from over here in Yevamah's Daf Tezvav. He says, Pnei Yeshu asked the Kasha. Pnei Yeshu was way after the Marshal. Pnei Yeshu was in the 1700s, Mashal was in the 1500s, 200 years before. So the Pnei Yeshu asked the Kasha, what do you mean? There's a din of chinach on a baby who was just born last week. The kid doesn't even understand. He's mamish mesasi. He doesn't even realize that he's sitting in a sukkah. Bechlad doesn't make any sense. B'shil of Mishama have a machloik, is there a din of chinach before the child is able to fulfill a mitzvah bishlei musa? But here, the kid doesn't even know that he's sitting in a sukkah. He doesn't even know what a sukkah is. He can't even see. He doesn't notice that there's anything there. Stama doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Marshal says. It doesn't say, Pichas es hamaziva, sichach bishvil hakoton, for the little infant. No. He says, bishvil koton means she had another baby. He interprets the case over here. Shammai would never make a sukkah for a little infant who doesn't even realize that he's sleeping in the sukkah. That's ridiculous. The kalosa shel Shammai had a son who was married, and they had already a child. And the child was 5 years old. And that five-year-old child understood what it means to sleep in the sukkah. But if he would sleep in the sukkah, he'll cry in the middle of the night, mommy, mommy, he's not going to go back to sleep. So he'd basically hold that that's a katan shetzorach le'imoy, that's a mitzvah potam in our sukkah. So he's not chayiv in chinuch. There's no chinuch on such a child. And Shammai disagrees. So the kalosa, he had another baby. She had a little infant. And she wasn't going to sleep in the sukkah. She wasn't going to sleep in the sukkah because she just gave birth to a baby. She can get pneumonia. So she's going to sleep in the house with the little infant. And the five-year-old baby, that's the shaila, that you have to make a sukkah for the five-year-old baby who does understand. So the Mashal claims that's why it says Bishvil Koton. It doesn't say Bishvil HaKoton with a hey, Hayadiyo. Some girsas in the Mishnah have a hey. So the Mashal says, no, it should not say a hey. Not that he disagreed with Shammai Azokim, disagreed with everybody else. There's a Chiyav Chinach on Mamish, an infant who's 2 weeks old. That's ridiculous. That's Mesase. There's no Chinach on him. Bishvil Koton on the five-year-old baby, the older child that they had. There's the Mashal's interpretation. There's a Shaila Chumash when you have the mitzvah of Hakel. It says you have to gather together Hanoshim, Hanoshim, Vehataf. So the Ramban Chumash is not sure how old the Taf are. Does it even apply to Yonke Shadayim, infants? Or does it only mean children before Bar Mitzvah? They'll hear the Kriyas HaTorah. And they'll remember and they'll understand the pasuk. They speak Hebrew, they live in Eretz, so they'll understand. So Ramban thinks, more mistabit to say that it has to be older children, but he says, you see from Chazal, not so. Because the Gemara says, Ataf lama boim, litin tzchalim eviyehem. What does the Gemara say? Ataf aboim, to hear the psukim from the hakel. So the Ramban thinks that the taf ayonch ge shadayim, and the Gemara understands, the taf gain absolutely nothing out of it. They don't even see what's happening. They won't be able to tell over anything that they had an experience. Zero. They don't know anything still. Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, thought that that didn't make any sense. Just like over here, the Mashal Tainas. The child doesn't even, if an infant, he doesn't even realize that he's sitting in sukkah. He's mamash amesasek. How can Shammai HaZokan say that there's a chiv chinuch on that? That's Rav Chaim thought. How can you say Ataf doesn't even understand that you brought him to the... He can't say later on. He's 2 months old. He won't be able to say later on when he grows up, I remember participating in a hakel, and the melech was reading for the sefer. He didn't see anything. He didn't hear anything. He doesn't know what's going on. If it's a little infant. Rav Chaim thought that the din of Taf by hakel is only if it's not misasek. If he'll be able to tell over what... He knows what happened, be able to say over. I was in the Beis HaMikdash and I heard Hakel and so on. He doesn't have to fully understand everything, but it shouldn't be a Mesase. So this is the famous Marshal over here. The next Gemara about the Mikveh, that's a famous Tosfos. What is the topic? Okay, Blineder, next week. Sunday I won't be here. There's a weekend where they're having Shiurim. Everyone is invited to come, somewhere in New Jersey. I'm not sure exactly where. But Monday, Belineda, we'll have to start from Erev Mikvos, the last three lines, on Tezvav Amin Aleph. Okay.